man, I want to encourage you guys. We are part of something bigger. And never does it become more apparent when you're in another setting with another congregation of people that are like-minded, with a heart after God, doing the same things that we are. And so I want to encourage you. There is another group of believers that we get to partner with, you know, sister church. And you guys are welcome to come down anytime. Let us know. Chris and Angela are down there every Sunday. And we go sometimes, and some of the other team members go down. And so come down, man. It's lots of fun. We get to have a lot of fun there. So I got to talk a bit about cricket with a Jamaican guy. So there's some relational, we're going through the nitty-gritties of relational things. He's a Jamaican, and South Africa is playing cricket against the West Indies, and we're winning. We're killing them. So it was a great way to help him grow in his walk with the Lord, just to tell him, Joe, we're killing you guys at cricket right now. I know you guys don't like cricket, but sorry, be gracious to me. I have to speak a bit of rugby and cricket. So anyway, so we are finishing, we're wrapping up on our series of relationships this week. Do you remember we started off, Chris launched us on speaking about love. Then we spoke about commitments. Then we had Claudio come up from Victoria and chat to us a bit about communication. I love that illustration he used about having a smaller bed and having to be forced next to Heidi, his wife. Have you guys had that? Can anybody attest to that with regards to communication, that you try and lie as close to the side of the bed if you've had a fight and you've gone to bed with your wife and nobody wants to touch anybody, you're kind of lying to the side? So it was communication with Claudio. And I must tell you, he's a Calgary fans flame. So it's really hard to build in community with Edmonton Oilers and Calgary Flames. And it is a challenge, guys, but God will help them see the light, Jay. God will help them see the light. And maybe one day in our lifetimes, the Canucks will take the Stanley Cup and then we'll be able to rub it in your... it's true. That's a lot of faith. I think it's the same God that parted the Red Sea, I just want to tell you. So maybe that's the same magnitude of miracles that we'll have to see for the Canucks to take the Stanley Cup. Good. Sorry, I digress. And then last week we did conflict. And this week we're going to talk about influence. And who knows that this next week you're going to be challenged on how you are an influencer. And who was challenged last week on conflict? I was. I was sharing with the church down in Victoria. Man, we had some final... end of financial year meetings with the group of men and women that I work with, and I was just amazed. Like, these are people that are well remunerated for their time, but when it comes to a few hundred dollars, let me tell you, there's no backing down from that. So communication, conflict, having to love some of these people, it's challenging. And unfortunately, some of the Christians in the group are the worst in terms of stickling for a couple of $100, right? So I can attest this last week was difficult. I had to learn how to deal with conflict. And I can tell you this next week, I believe you're going to be faced with things where you are challenged on your area of influence. And so that's what we're going to be looking at tonight. I wanted to ask you guys, how has it been for you, us going through the nitty-gritty 5 weeks of relational issues? Have you been encouraged, challenged, all of the above? Silences, all of the above, hey? So I want to encourage us, church, that we can come to church and we can listen to good preachers when it's Chris, mediocre when it's Edmonds, and we can make notes. And we can try to file things away, but then we can put them aside. And I want to encourage you with everything we do, right? God's, we know He's so big. I just love the way He moves in our midst by His Holy Spirit, like what Kevin shared earlier, like He is present. And so you are here this evening by no mistake. You are here to hear about what you're called to be as an influencer in the kingdom of God. And we can, for some of us, we've heard these things before, right? And you can let it kind of just deflect. It can be truth that just deflects. And I want to encourage you, not because it's me speaking, but when it's any of us bringing the word, let these things penetrate. I want to encourage you that these have been difficult conversations, right? They've been difficult conversations for believers, right? Because we do. Like within the church, who's been offended by someone in the church before? Man, I've grown up in church. I've been offended. I've been offended by people that have offended other people that have offended other people, right? And it's going to happen. It's going to happen in our midst, right? And so this is not just an academic, this is not just for academia to entertain ourselves on a Sunday night. I believe God's calling us to do things differently going ahead. I get an amen? Hey, he is. He's calling us to do things differently from going ahead. So when conflict arises, when you get offended because someone's sitting in your chair or someone didn't offer you a coffee or something like that, like we got to take those things captive and say, man, I'm not letting that impact me. Like God has called me to be part of this body, right? Okay, so let's go to Romans 12 verses 2. That's the scripture we've been meditating on and been in for the last couple of weeks. So I'm going to read this to us here. Romans 12, verses 2. I'm reading out of the NIV. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. That word transformed in the Greek is metamorpho, right? And do you guys remember back to biology days what metamorphosis is? It's a complete change, right? I can't actually remember how they used to describe it, but it's like it's complete change in structure, right? You've got an ugly caterpillar with like a fat body and like a waxy skin. Have you seen those things before? Where they got these like hairy backs? They look terrible. Caterpillars are, I just don't like caterpillars. And they go into a cocoon and they become a chrysalis, and then within a couple of weeks they come out generally as this incredibly beautiful butterfly. And I think, isn't it beautiful that he uses that very word to say, allow the word of God to transform your mind so that we become aware of what his good and perfect will is for us, right? It's beautiful. I think it's really cool. So that's the scripture that we've been dwelling on. And how do we let that affect our relationships? How do we let the word change how we love, how we committed, how we communicate, how we influence, and how we conflict, right? Well, we got to go to the Word of God for that, hey? My next slide, sorry, I can't really follow my slides, but so we have examples from culture that we are bombarded with every day, and I'd like to list a few. These are a few of our host culture's influences, right? The way host culture tells us to influence people around us is I must protect, I must benefit, I must control, and I must win. Pretty harsh, right? Like it's pretty harsh, but that's what culture tells you, is that it's all about me and my and must. It's a coercive kind of manipulative way that culture tells us to be, right? And so we got to make no mistake that that's what we're being told by people around us all the time, and we got to fight to not become that way, because that's not what God intended it for us, right? I don't know about you, church, but when I've lived by our host culture's principles for influence, I found myself tired, frustrated, more anxious, and actually suspicious of others. Within the church, too. Like, it's easy to think of people at work that really cheese you off, that you can think, yeah, I can think of so-and-so. But I can tell you that that's happened in my life within the body of Christ, is that there are people that I start to get suspicious of, right? I feel anxious. I feel angry because I'm allowing culture to dictate to me how I should be, allowing it to influence me, and as a result, changing the way I influence others, right? Essentially, I believe our host culture wants us to be self-sufficient. I mean, think about this, right? This is what you're hearing all the time. Self-sufficiency, selfish, and secluded. This is the way. Did you hear that? This is the way. Mandalorian fans, this is the way. There we go. Vicky liked that. Thanks, Vicky. My son looks away because I'm embarrassing him. He likes the Mandalorian too, but he's just like, oh, you're so embarrassing. This is the way of this kind of worldly influence. That's what the worldly influence brings to us, right? Self-sufficiency, selfishness, and secludedness. I mean, I'm amazed. What I do for a living, I see a lot of very secluded, lonely people. And one of the ICU doctors, one of the specialists that I work with, came to me probably about 2 years ago. I think, probably even before COVID. He said to me, what is going, not a believer, hey? He said, what is going on with our world? Like, could you believe this? He said this to me, like, this is an unbeliever, very openly anti-God. And he says, what is going on with society? He says, mankind has never lived in North America and Europe, you could say, in such, like, privilege and with so much. And yet our statistics for self-harm, suicide, drug and alcohol has never been as high as it is now, right? I said, it's the cultural influences, right? Because we've been told. We've been told it's all about you. Just make it work for you, right? Freedom 55, get that boat, get that this, get that that. That's what's going to bring you happiness. And it doesn't. And then people get there and they're surprised because they're not doing it the way that we were created to do it, right? I think, as I was writing my notes, I was thinking, there has never been a more apparent time than COVID for the fruits of living like that. And do you remember about 3 years ago, could you get toilet paper at Costco? No, we couldn't get toilet paper at Costco because we were some of the people that were stockpiling toilet paper. I repent, right? But wasn't that nuts? That was the fruits of what we were living in, right? COVID was coming, right? And I'm not anti a lot of the things that were done. I think they were good. I'm a physician. I think Bonnie Henry, a lot of the things, I'm not poo-pooing that. But what I am poo-pooing is the way I reacted. I didn't live out as a believer that knew that God had my number. He knew my kids. He knew that my family, he knew that he was going to be my provider. All those things. God would provide my toilet paper, you know. I took it on myself. I remember feeling that way. It's my job to make sure that I get the four people closest to me through this pandemic. So if that means us stockpiling 6 months of toilet paper and tinned beans, by Jove, we're going to do it, right? Did you guys live like that? I repent. Like, I hope I never have to live through another pandemic. But if I do, I hope before God that I do it differently because I lived under worldly influence, not godly influence, in the midst of all of that. Is it just me? You guys didn't have toilet paper? Like, what about your neighbor? Like, were you sharing toilet paper with our neighbors or were they all using newspaper? I don't know. But God called us to be different, to be countercultural, right? To be countercultural, like not to be influenced by society. Man, we were told, be self-sufficient, selfish, and it resulted in us being secluded, right? And again, there was wisdom in that. So don't hear what I'm not saying, right? But a lot of the church have got into that pattern and are still secluded. Well, things have opened up. Come back. God wants us to be together in family, right? We've got a job to do. So Romans 12:2 instructs us to allow God to change the way we think. And I think what's so key in that scripture is that there's submission there. And we don't like that. I don't like that. I don't like being told what to do. We can see that when our kids are like 3 months old, right? When you start feeding them, they start spitting stuff back at you. We know we're born with a sinful nature right from little. Any parent here can tell you we are not born sinless. I can attest because I've had three, and I know that I gave my parents a heck of a time as well. We are not born naturally wanting to submit, right? But he calls us to submission. And if we do not submit, then we miss out on what he's got for us. His good and perfect will. And so I think what's so key for that is us coming before him in a submitted fashion to hear what his perfect and good and perfect will is for us. Let's look at some of, so I think with regards, you can be hearing what I'm saying about influence and you can be thinking, yeah, but you just don't know the people I got to deal with. Like, And I think for some of us, that's true within the church and outside of the church as well. There are people challenges that we face that make it really hard for us to allow God to influence us and change the way we do, right? But I would say to you that our Savior faced the same challenges. He was surrounded by people that really probably bugged him a lot of the time, right? And so I want to look at some of these examples that we see in Scripture. People challenges that Jesus faced while he brought influence to the people he was entrusted with, okay? And we're going to look at now. So let's go to Matthew 14:31. I'll open up here. And you'll see there's one particular individual that we'll be focusing on with these. And I'm a bit scared to meet him in heaven one day because I think he was a burly fisherman who probably beat me up. And so I want to be respectful. But look at these examples of as Jesus was walking with his disciples, I don't think we have any validity to say, you don't know who I'm walking with, because I think he walked with the same kind of characters as we get to walk with, right? But he's calling us to live differently. So people will disappoint. So we're looking at people problems. People will disappoint you. Matthew 14:31. Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? Crazy. I think sometimes we think Jesus kind of just didn't feel really, kind of just floated around because he was the Son of God and stuff. I don't think so. I think he had poured into this man's life, and he sees, can you imagine? You see someone that you've led and that you've been influencing step out of a boat onto water and start to walk, right? And then start to doubt. Can you imagine how excited you must be as a leader in that moment, and then to see him drop into the water? And Jesus doesn't say to Peter, oh, sucks to be you. You should have had a bit more faith. He puts out his hand and he grabs and says, oh, Peter, he says, why did you doubt? But he pulls him back into the boat, right? So Jesus was disappointed by people, and people will disappoint you. And can I say, I think that the people closest to us often disappoint us the most because we expect more. And can I say that I think that's very apparent in church as well, because we expect more of each other, all right? But we can't let these things hamstring us. I'm telling you, people are going to disappoint you. The next thing is that people will make mistakes. Matthew 16, verses 23. Jesus turned. Imagine Jesus saying this to you. He probably has said to me sometimes. I just didn't hear him. Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. And he said that in front of a whole bunch of guys. Get behind me, Satan. Because what Peter was speaking was directly coming from the devil, right? He was trying to stop Jesus from doing what God had called him to. And this is after having walked with Jesus for some time already. So I say to you, people will make mistakes. We know Peter made lots of mistakes, right? The next thing I wanted to highlight was that people are selfish. Let's go to Mark 14, verses 37. Then he turned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Simon, he said to Peter, are you asleep? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. He says, Simon, you've fallen asleep again, and it happened 3 times. Like, here he is. He's pouring out. He's sweating blood. He knows what's going to happen the next day. He knows what I think even more, I said that last preach, the more than the physical pain that Jesus was going to go through was that separation that he was going to face with his heavenly Father, where they'd never been separated before. But because of the sins of the world, he was going to carry a weight like we cannot imagine. And his 3 closest friends that he takes with him into the garden, he says, come and pray with me just for a couple of hours, guys. And he turns back, and these 3 guys have fallen asleep, right? And he wakes him up, and it happens 3 times. Can you imagine? I think he was totally justified in writing all 3 of them off and saying, well, that's it. I'm going to go find some other guys that actually can stay awake for a couple of hours and pray with me. But he doesn't do that because he's a kingdom influencer. He does things differently. People are selfish. People are selfish, right? People might betray you. That's the 4th point. Mark 14, 71. And you guys know this story, but I'm going to read it to us again. Just 1 verse out of the story. Mark 14, verses 71. He began to call down curses on himself, and he swore to them, I don't know this man you're talking about. Man, I think you've got to kind of like almost let that like seep into us a little bit. Like, yes, Jesus had performed miracles. He had walked with these men. He had laid himself down, right? He was about to lay himself down even more. And just this guy couldn't even verbally acknowledge Jesus, right? And who's watched The Passion, that Mel Gibson, The Passion? You remember that scene? I think that's so beautiful when Peter denies Jesus in that courtyard, right? He looks up and the way they film it, the cinematography is so beautiful because Jesus looks straight across at him and they catch eyes and then the rooster crows 3 times. And Peter knows. Man, what's making me want to cry? Hey, can you imagine the hurt? Can you imagine the hurt? Anybody that's led here, anybody that leads has some inkling of this, but I don't think we have any idea of the amount of pain that must have caused Jesus. Denied him 3 times, says, I swear, and I bring a curse on myself if I know this man. Unbelievable, guys. Those are people problems. We're gonna have people problems. By the time Peter denied Jesus, he had spent 3 years with the greatest influencer the world had ever seen and ever will see. Are we quick to write people off, church? Because Jesus didn't. In fact, his word shows us how he wants us to be an influence and gives example in scriptures as how we should respond. And so that's what I want to go to on the next slide. Jesus modeled a different type of influence. And once again, looking at Peter, let's look at how he modeled influence to the people that were close to him. Matthew 16, Verses 18 is where I'm going to read out of. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. This man that failed him, made mistakes, disappointed him, betrayed him multiple times, he doesn't write him off. But he extends him grace, and he actually trusts him with an incredible truth, right? Peter received the revelation of who Jesus was. He declared, he said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And so Jesus is saying to him in that moment, it's that revelation upon which I will build my church. And who did he give that to? Not John, not Andrew, not Simon, not Levi, Peter. Okay? And he knew what Peter was going to do. So I say to you, our kingdom influencer is grace and trust or biblical patterns for influence in the face of people problems. Peter was entrusted with that revelation. John 21, verses 17, if you mind turn there with me, if you follow me in your Bibles. The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And you guys know the prelude to that, right? He asked Peter three times. He said, "Peter, do you love me?" He says, "I love you, Lord." He says, "Peter, do you love me?" He says, "I love you, Lord." And he asked him a third time. He says, "Peter, do you love me?" He says, "You know I love you." And the Bible says he actually kind of got kerfuffle. He got perplexed. He said, "Of course, you know I love you." Why did he do it three times? Hey, I think it was because he'd been denied three times. And so here he is restoring. So I think Jesus just exhibits such beautiful restorative influence with the emphasis on the future and the task at hand. He says, "That's in the past, Peter." He says, I'm going to allow you to have revelation, and I'm going to forgive you. He says, I'm going to restore you three times over. And I'm going to emphasize it in front of your brothers around you so that they know you're restored with a task for the future, right? And what does that do for Peter, church? What does that do for Peter? We know, well, we think we know, right, by church history, that Peter went on to die a martyr's death like 10 of the other initial 12, right? And we think from church history that they wanted to crucify him too, and he said, "I can't be crucified." In fact, I believe that they crucified his wife at the same time as him. And he said, "I am not worthy to be crucified in the same fashion that you crucified my Lord." So he was crucified upside down. What kind of a kingdom influence? Look, what did that bring, right? We see a man emboldened on the day of Pentecost who gets up, an unschooled, illiterate fisherman. So I challenge any of you that says, in your heart, "Well, I'm not schooled. I didn't do this. All these reasons that we have. Jesus invested in people from all backgrounds, right? And so I want to encourage us. He's got us all here for a different purpose, right? He's got some of us done different things. And Jesus, we see Peter get up on the day of Pentecost and preach, and 3,000 people get saved. Right, men, actually. The Bible says men. So who knows how many women and children. I mean, they must have been busy baptizing that day. Luckily, it was warm there. So, but man, guys, like what a difference, right? If Jesus had dealt with him differently, if Jesus had adopted a worldly way of influencing the men and women around him, what would Peter have done? I don't think Peter would have come back after that denial in the courtyard, right? If Jesus didn't exert kingdom influence on him. Next slide. My numbers are off a bit. My influence, I'd say to you, is not determined by my level of success, but by my ability to help you succeed. I think that's what we see in Jesus. I'm going to say that again. My influence is not determined by my level of success, but by my ability to help you succeed. How do we measure success in the kingdom of God? Is Elon Musk for Christians, is that what we want? Like I shared that with the church down south. I said this to the kids at NCS a couple of years ago. I said, like, who would you want to be, right? Like, who would you want to be? Because, I mean, I think Elon Musk's a pretty cool guy. But he's got no kingdom influence. His influence is not going to last for eternity unless he gives his heart to Jesus, right? And we have fathers of the faith. Hebrews 11, I believe it is, speaks of this greater cloud of witnesses that we get to stand with one day. And some of them nobody even knows about. because they've been so quietly just doing what God's called them to do, right? The William Careys and the, oh, my favorite is Jim Elliot. Like, I think if we think of success in worldly terms, here we have a young American man who's just got married, goes with a whole bunch of buddies, I think there were four or five of them, to a tribe of a tribe in South America, and they are killed on the beach the first time they land and make contact with these guys. And when the news came back to the church, they're like, what a waste. What a waste. What kind of an influence do we want to have? You know what happened? Is that his wife went back to that very same tribe with the wives of those other men. I'm sorry, I don't know why I'm so emotional. His wife goes back with the other wives and they make contact with the same people. Do you know that the very man that speared Jim Elliot was one of the first elders, leaders, pastors in that church? Who had the greater influence? Men and women came to know Jesus. They were never reached because of what God was doing in their hearts and lives, right? And so we can look at it in human terms. I say to you, church, like, how do we measure success? Is it by our bank accounts, what cars we drive? Because I think that's all worldly influence. And those aren't bad things, right? I'm not saying those are bad things. But we can't measure our success the same way the world measures success, right? This is where success is. As a church, a thriving church, look at us. We are a group of people from different nations, different tribes, different tongues that have come together under one banner to make his name great. This is what Ephesians speaks about. Hey, the manifold wisdom of God in our time. This is plan A. I want my influence to be here. I don't need my name in lights because they're going to be in lights one day when I get there, right? We're going to be surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses. I want to be well done, good and faithful servant. We can't measure success the same way the world does. And I know it's hard. It's something that I struggle with all the time, right? Because we are bombarded by this all the time. At work, on TV, on the radio. We've got to fight for this. We've got to fight for this kingdom influence. And all of these things that we've been learning about. Our kingdom influence is so different from that of our host culture. Next slide is 5 points that I want us to look at to help others succeed in kingdom influence. And that's what I would say to you as my brothers and sisters here tonight. I believe that's where you're called to have your influence, is how can we focus on each other and those that haven't joined us yet and people that we rub shoulders with and we have contact with. How can we be an influence on those people? And how can we bring kingdom influence to them? I'd say the first one of these 5 points that I think would be helpful for us is in Philippians 2 verses 3 to 4, it's focus on the person. I'm going to just read out of the ESV. ESV gave me some trouble earlier today, Chris. I couldn't find my scriptures, as you know. So, kidding. I'm going back to the ESV here. I don't know why I couldn't find the last scripture, and I went back and looked at it when I got home, and it was right there, so I just kind of blanked. Focus on the person. Philippians 2 verses 3 to 4. These are ways that we can be kingdom influencers, right? Sorry, guys. Philippians 2, verses 3 to 4. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let's focus on people. Let's focus on the person around us, right? Next point is focus on the positive. I'm going to go to Ephesians here. It's Ephesians 4, verses 32. Be kind to one another. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. That's countercultural, man. That's countercultural. It's all about me. I must win. I must protect. I. It says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. We're called to be that as the church. Focus on the positive. Next point, focus on people's potential. So it's person, positive, potential. And that's in 1 Peter 4, verses 10. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Let's focus on each other's potential. I feel so strongly about this, especially for our kids. Like, I think we need to do this with each other. Like, when we see the potential on each other, we need to speak that out on each other. You say, Mike, You have got such potential, my brother. You are going to be used mightily amongst the Hornets. They're going to see something different. They're going to see a kick-ass rugby player, but they're going to see someone whose heart is smitten for Jesus. I want to say that to you. Seriously, God has got you in those Hornets. People are recognizing you already. We need to speak life over each other in this place. Seriously, and I mean that, bro. I feel that in the moment from the Holy Spirit, God is going to use you mightily amongst those Hornets. We're going to have rugby players filling that back bench, and everyone will know what a try is in a couple of months, okay? But you, God has got you there for a reason. And then can I say on the second half of that is our children. Man, I know some of our teens and preteens are sitting here, but moms and dads and grandparents, and even if you're not related to kids, but you recognize the potential on our children and speak life over them prophetically, even pray over them when they're sleeping. Christian, that we recognize the gifts on you, that we call out the potential on you, the prophetic, and what God has called for you too, that we speak those things out on our children. And speak them out on each other's children. It doesn't only have to be Landon that's speaking into his children's lives. I can do that too, right? Because they're my family. We're called to be together in family, right? That's kingdom influence, right? Is speaking the positive and speaking and realizing that we can get so hung up on all the stupid little things, right? But we can, if we recognize the potential in each other, it spurs us on, man. And when we start to do that as the church of God, empowered by His Holy Spirit, we are unstoppable, not by our strength, but by His. We are unstoppable, and the devil knows that. The devil totally knows that. That's why he wants to bring all these. He wants to break down commitment and communication and all these things. He wants to hamstring us. He wants to trip us up. Man, guys, if we can let go of these things, you know what? You are the most irritating guy in the world, but I love you because there's potential on you, and I can see for more than this for you, right? If that's our heart, people are going to change. Let's do that on our kids. Let's speak that over our children. Focus on their purpose. You got this? Is it up there? Person, positive, potential, purpose. Ephesians 2 verses 10. You guys are very quiet. Has it been a long day?
Doing good, Jerry.
Okay, thank you. All right, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Focus on people's purpose. If we don't focus on their purpose and encourage them in that, people are going to miss the call of God on their lives. What more, what bigger disappointment could you have on earth if you were made for purpose? Like, that's the thing that makes me most fearful almost about going to heaven one day, is God chose me on a big projector. This is what I had for you, my boy. You were going to do that. But because you didn't reach your purpose. Let's focus on our purpose. We're on mission together. We're not on this analogy you've heard, I'm sure. We're not on a cruise ship. This isn't a cruise ship. You know, I know Cabanza likes the smoke. I like the smoke too. But this is not a show, right? We're not here for a show. We are on mission together. We are curating opportunity for people to come here to get to know Jesus, right? And we are here as His believers to grow and mature and then get out there and bring more people in. We're the only organization that exists for its non-members. Have you heard that before? The church is the only organization that exists for its non-members. We exist for people that don't belong to us yet, and they will be here because we're on purpose. You are not on a deck of a cruise ship, right? You are on a warship. You are on those big aircraft carriers, right? Those guys and gals know what to do. When an alarm goes off, they know what station to man because there could be a torpedo or something coming. That's the way we should be, right? Spiritually, right? We are on purpose. We are coming across the ocean, and we're going to take on the enemy, right? And he knows that, and he's afraid of us. But if we're on a cruise ship, and we're la-di-dying, right? And our rudder can't even turn us, you know, to avoid an island. He's not afraid of that, right? God has called us to be on purpose. We are to be influenced by the influencers so that we can influence those around us to go on purpose together. Okay, last one is focus on the process. Luke 6, verses 38. This is where the ESV let me down earlier, Chris. But I found it. I couldn't find the scripture when we were in Victoria, but it was there. And it's doing it again. Goodness gracious. I don't know why it won't give me Luke 6, verse 38. Can you guys Can you see it there? Can I come down and just read it to you? I don't know. It's goofy in my thing there. Give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you give back. Focus on the process, guys. Like, the amount we give is the amount we're going to get back. He's faithful. All right? And I'd say to you, the process is not a quick one. Often, you know, we wish it were, right? But it's not a quick process influencing people, right? It took Jesus 3 years with 12 men and probably a little bit bigger a group, but 12 close relationships. Jesus took 12 men. And that also, sometimes we just want things to happen so quickly, right? But it didn't. It took him a long time. And this was Jesus we're talking about. As I was preparing for this preach, if we go to the next slide, I was just thinking about that scripture in 2 Corinthians 2, verses 14 to 15. And I want to read it to you guys, and then I just want to just elaborate more on it. But 2 Corinthians 2, verses 14 to 15, he says, "But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him. For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing." And when I realized that influence was going to be my topic, this is the scripture that came to my mind. The Bible tells me that I'm called to be the fragrance of God where I go, right? And I said to Victoria this morning, I said, "Who likes to go camping here? You guys like to go camping in the summer? I like camping too. But what I can't handle, I love sitting around a fire, but what I can't handle next morning is that smell of everybody that's been sitting around a fire when they haven't had showers. It's a horrible stench. Old cigarette smoke, you know that smell too? What kind of a fragrance, what kind of an aroma are we carrying as his people? Is it like old cigarette smoke or horrible old campfire? Or, I'll give you another analogy, is my wife likes to put on nice perfume. And I know sometimes I give her a hug in the morning and then I go to work and there are not very many very good smells where I work. And when I'm getting dressed in my scrubs, sometimes I'll get a whiff of Marie's perfume, Marie's aroma on me because I've been close to her. Hey? And so the Bible tells us that we are his fragrance. We carry his aroma. We are his people. We are being influenced by the influencer to be influencers of those around. So I ask you, church, what kind of aroma do you carry with you? Sometimes I'm a stinky aroma at work. And I think this week I was hopefully not literally, but I think my attitude stunk this week, right? I'm sure there are people that'd be able to attest that, well, yeah, he's a bit of a stinky guy this week in terms of his aroma, but we are in process, right? And I want to challenge you. It's like every week I go back, I'm like, Lord, I want to learn how to guard my tongue. I want to learn how to speak in front of those around me because they know what I stand for. They know who I believe in, right? And that's what he's encouraging us to is as we're getting closer to the influencer, he's changing me and influencing me, and I can be an influencer to those around me. And do I get it right all the time? Not at all, you know? Ask Marie. Don't ask her tonight, but we blow it. We do blow it, right? But our continual pursuit is that we've got to be trying to get close to the influencer. If we're in his presence, you remember that story? I know I've spoken about it before, but that story in the Old Testament when Moses used to go into the tent, right? Where the Ark of the Covenant was, and he used to come out, and the Bible tells us that he used to have to veil his face because he shone with the glory of God. That's the aroma I want to be. Is that the aroma you want to be, beloved City Church? That's the aroma we want to be. Hey? Thank you, Rick. It gives me goosebumps because we have a new covenant. We have access to the Holy of Holies. All of us do. None of you are Levitical priests. None of us would have qualified in the natural. None of us, I don't think. I don't think there's one Jewish person here. So, but we have all by Jesus got access to that same Holy Spirit. But the clincher is you've got to press in. You've got to want to get close to the influencer. You don't become like someone unless you're near them. You don't smell like a stinky campfire the next morning if you've stood away from it, because I try a lot to not get close to the campfire. You got to get close to the influencer. And I think that's what the take-home message for me tonight is. Guys and gals, we have to press in to the influencer. We have to be spending time in the Word of God on a daily basis. We have to be hearing the Holy Spirit because He wants that from us. He created us for relationship with Him. He created it for us. He's allowed us. He sent His only Son so that you and I can go into the Holy of Holies and that we can come out with our faces shining, just like Moses did, right? That's not Old Testament all done. He's the same God. We sing that on Sundays. He's the same God that was there, the same God who allowed Moses' face. Moses was able to be in the presence of God, and so are you. You are allowed to be in the presence of the influencer because of what Jesus did on the cross. Isn't that awesome news? Yeah. That should make, when you wake up tomorrow and it's a Monday morning, it's like, I get to be an influencer. I get to choose today to spend time with God. And on the flip side of that, I wanted to ask us as a church, and I'm going to maybe step on some of your toes, and I kind of think it's good. So you'll have to bear with me, okay? It's my cultural upbringing that I can be a bit forward sometimes. But who are we allowing to influence us as people? I really felt strongly about this when I was preparing this preach, right? Because we have a choice as people. And that's what makes Him so amazing, is that He doesn't want robots. He didn't create us and say to you, this is how you're going to, Chris, you're going to dance this way, and you're going to love me because I tell you to do that, right? He gave us free will, right? And so He's created us with free will. So you have a choice. You have a choice to be influenced by the Most High God who wants a relationship with you, who wants to speak with you, commune with you, use you mightily to bring His kingdom to the people around you. Or you can be influenced by culture. And I'll tell you what, it's way easier to be influenced by culture. Because a lot of nights I'm really tired and all I want to do is just, and I'm not, don't hear what I'm not saying. I watch TV too. I like some of the shows on Apple TV. But you know what I really felt convicted of is like, I think I'm wasting time. There are so many books that I should be reading that are going to build into me, make me a stronger man of God, a better dad, a better husband, a better friend, a better leader. And here I am sitting watching whatever on Apple TV. And you need Apple TV sometimes. Don't hear what I'm not saying, okay? But I think for some of us, Apple TV or Netflix or whatever your thing is, social media can be your influencer. And I think we need to be challenged on that as a church. And can I go one step further? Is I think we need to be so careful what we're letting our children be influenced by. And I don't think we talk about that enough as church because we're afraid of offending people, right? But I fear for our children because my kids go to Nanaimo Christian School. I'm on the board there, and the stories I hear about some children that I would believe would be being raised with a Christian heritage and culture makes my hair stand on end. So I can only imagine what goes on in public school. We have got to be so careful. We have got to be putting things in place to guard our children's hearts. Because once that horse is out of the barn, there's no putting it back. So please don't be offended. Do we blow it? We blow it. Sometimes our kids have watched things that they shouldn't have watched, right? But I'm telling you, I am so aggressive about what my children watch, what they read, what I'm letting into their hearts, because I don't want them to be influenced by Apple TV, who's hiring psychologists to get them addicted to their shows so they can make more money. I don't want that for my kids, and I don't want that for your kids. I want to see Maya thrive. I want to see her become the woman of God that God has called her to be. Our young people sitting here, Christian, Tristan, Maya, you guys, we want to see you go way beyond us. We want you to be influencers in the city. We want you to stand on our shoulders. We want you to go way beyond. I'm telling you, when I'm an old man, I'm still going to be dancing in the pews and you guys can be laughing at me, but you guys are going to go beyond us. I'm serious, church. They're not just hot air. Like, that is what we believe. SEMA, God has got you guys placed amongst us. We want you guys to stand on our shoulders. We want you to be influencers because God knows this community needs influencers, godly, biblical influencers, hey? And that starts at home, guys. Honestly, moms and dads, I hope if you're feeling offended, it's because it's the Holy Spirit convicting you, right? Honestly, I'm not picking on anybody. But if you're feeling convicted right now, you guys need to go home tonight and sit together and talk about what your kids are watching and what they're doing. Because, man, their futures in God is far too big for us to squander on a few shows or cheap and easy babysitting. And, man, it's a hard one. Like, it's great to let your kids be babysat by TV. I know, we do it sometimes too, right? But The analogy for me is that Jacob and Esau one, right? Well, you know, when Esau comes back and he's so hungry, and what does he do? He sells his birthright for a bowl of stew. And I tell you that in the spiritual, that's what we're doing with ourselves sometimes. And man, God help us if we're letting that happen to our kids. If I'm letting Tristan sell his birthright for a bowl of stew, for some temporary fulfillment down here, man, God's going to hold me accountable one day. And God's going to hold me accountable if I don't share that with you. So forgive me if you're offended. Good thing we did conflict last week. We can address it later. But I really felt strongly. And I feel I can be stronger with you guys because I have a relationship with you more so than Victoria, because I love you, because this is where God has planted me. And I want to see your families thrive and do well. And I want to see your kids go beyond you and me. To end things off, I believe that for every single one of us, God has placed us in spheres of influence, right? And that kind of goes without saying. It's pretty obvious. But as we highlight these areas, I want you to let the Holy Spirit highlight things in your heart, right? For the area where you get to be an influencer. Because I think for some of us, as Christians, we kind of downplay who we are in Him, and we downplay where we get to go. I do. Sometimes I walk into a room and I walk out afterwards and I think, man, that was demonic. And I'm not trying to be weird here, right? But sometimes I'm faced with things at work where I think it's demonic. I think the devil is at work in a moment, and sometimes I miss it, right? And I'm challenged in that. It's like, no, when I walk into a room, if there's a demon in that room, he better know who's in the room. Not Darren Edmonds, but who's in Darren Edmonds, right? And so I want to encourage you in that. In your areas of influence, you might poo-poo where you work. You might think, oh, it's such an insignificant job. I'm not so-and-so. I'm telling you, God has got you in your marriage and in your family to be an influencer. And it is your duty, it is your calling to be spending time with the influencer so that you can influence the people in your marriage, the person, not the people, the person in your marriage, and the people in your family. Like that is a call. You are called to be influencing. I'm influencing whether I'm acknowledging it or not. I'm influencing my wife and my children. And they know when I'm not spending time with the influencer because they can see the fruits of my influencing. The second place where we're called to be influencers is church. And I spoke about that earlier. Man, I've never been more convinced that this is God's plan A. I mean, it's so clear in scripture, right? The church of God. What a beautiful thing. And you are called here to be an influencer. And so I want to encourage you. God doesn't need you. Like God could do anything. God could add 400 people tomorrow that we don't need a single one of any of you to do anything again, right? But He offers you opportunity to be an influencer in this body, right? Man, what a privilege. Like I said to Victoria, I said, I love it. I said to my kids and Marie, I love it. We got to go to church this morning, got to meet with friends down there, be with people that are on mission. I get to be here with you, my friends and family tonight. We get to be on mission together, guys. We get to influence each other. I feed off Kevin. Oh, he's not here, but he's downstairs with the kids. But have you guys listened to Kevin share? Have you seen what God has done in that man's heart? Man, I feed off of that. Like when I hear Kevin give testimony, when I see God bring him to tears, when I see your boldness, Angelina, to step out this evening, man, guys, if that's not, that's way better than anything, right? Can I say it's way better than a weekend in Florida at Disneyland, right? Because that's not going to fulfill us, because we created as spiritual beings to be in God's will. And I'm not poo-pooing all these good things. Those are great. Go have a holiday in Florida. But the reality is that we are made for so much more, right? And so when we see family being influenced by the influencer, and when we're being an influence and we're walking in the call of God, man, it just makes me come alive, right? Does it make you come alive? Church, can I say, like, guys, we got to get plugged in. Like, we have a city to reach. This city is so lost. We have a city to reach. We need all hands on deck. So if you're back-footed or you're worried, or can I encourage you, step out boldly. Step out boldly. Like God's got a plan for you. He's created you. So you ought to be an influence in your marriage, in your family, in your local church. And most of you that I'm looking out on here, this is your local church. This is where you call family and home. So get plugged in. Because you know what? You have talents and gifts that no one else in the room has. And without you, we're going to be a body walking with a limp. So get in the game, like Chris said. Let's go score some tries together, Mike. Okay, second last. Influence your friendships. Like, I think for Christians, we need to have unbelieving friends. But I think we need to be careful that our unbelieving friends don't influence us and that we influence them. And sometimes that takes a long time and it's an arduous journey. And as I'm reading those things where I've wanted to write off people that we've been friends with for like 10 years because it's so frustrating. You know, it's like the same problems over and over. And you're like, guys, you just need Jesus. And then the same problem over and over and over. But I can tell you what, in the last like 2 months, can I share personal, like a testimony with you guys? We have friends that we've been walking with for like 10 years. I can't get into too many details, but that aren't believers, that put their kids in Nanaimo Christian School because they were unhappy with where their kids were. And can I tell you what I've seen happen in their little boy's life at NCS? He has come alive. And his mom said to Marie, this is the first time she ever acknowledged it this last week or last 2 weeks. She said to Marie, I want to thank you so much for encouraging us to put so-and-so in NCS because we have seen his life change. And when his mom blasphemes, he elbows her. He says, Mom, you can't say that. And that's, it's not been easy, right? And you can, I'm sure we've all got multiple relationships like that we can think of, right? Where it's hard work, right? People, they're rejecting the truth and it's a long journey. But God's got their number and you're called to be an influencer there. And without you being there, they might be going to an eternity without him. So get close to the influencers so you can influence them, so they can get saved, so they can become influencers. Last point. Is work. And again, I touched on it a little bit. We are called to the workplace. Most of us are not in full-time ministry. You're called to the workplace to be a marketplace influencer. I get paid by provincial government to occasionally tell people about Jesus. Isn't that awesome? Thank you, Robert Ebbe. And he's actually given me a raise this year as well. Long overdue, I might add. I'm kidding. But you've been called into the marketplace to be an influencer. It's not just about paying off a mortgage and putting kids through college, university, whatever it looks like. You've been called into the marketplace to be an influencer. And if we start to see it that way, man, this building will be too small for us within a few months. Because when we are influenced by the influencer and we start influencing people around us, they're going to be like, Landon, what is different about you, man? Let me tell you. Like Kevin was sharing about a friend this week that he said, his friend was asking him and he said, let me tell you what's changed in my life in the last 18 months, right? So good, guys. I hope it excites you. So quiet. Maybe I'm too forth. But I'm passionate about this. I'm so excited about what we're doing. I'm so excited to see all of you here. We are on mission together. God is moving. God is moving on our island. He is bringing people together, and he is connecting us with other churches. Like I'm telling you, I want to see that we speak about revival, and we want to see those things happen. But I tell you. I'm more convinced than ever because, I mean, I've grown up in church and we've always spoken about revival. I don't even know that I really understood it, but I feel like revival comes here first, right? Because when I'm influenced, when my life is just like, people are like, there's something, that guy's just weird. There's something about him, right? Like, that's when revival comes, is when they start seeing it within us. Sometimes it comes in a different way too, right? But I'm convinced that he wants to use us. He wants to use us. He wants to influence us to be influencers. So I hope that encourages you and excites you. And this week, when the enemy comes and he brings distractions and difficulties, remember who you are. You are a child of the living God. The God who spoke the stars into existence. We did that at youth on Friday night. He spoke the stars into existence, right? He parted the Red Sea. He has fed a million people in a desert. You are his child. You walk with him. He said to the disciples, he said, it is better for me to go and send you the Holy Spirit. We walk with the Holy Spirit within us if we are his believers. You are empowered. You are empowered just as much as the early church was. Those gifts are for us today. They never ceased. That is scriptural, right? He wants to use you. Get with the influencer so that he can influence you so that you can be an influence in your community. Can I just pray over us?